So welcome to you stalwarts who made it through the surprising snow. Okay. So next Wednesday is Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. Can you stand it? So I'm looking forward, in a sense, to Ash Wednesday and Lent. And I want to do it in this way as a suggestion. So if it fits, great. If it doesn't, great. So today, the opening prayer, well, God, you teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true. Transform us by your grace, so that we may become a dwelling pleasing to you. And what I want to do, as humbly as possible, is take exception with that prayer. And here's why. You abide in hearts that are just and true. So what was your reaction when you heard that? Well, I got to try harder. What I want to suggest is that this gospel comes at that experience of the human experience of standing before God and either feeling righteous and just and everything is going well and my life is in order and I'm handing everything over to God, or I'm over here saying, God, I'm not doing it right. Everything's going wrong and I can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And in one sense, the whole practice of showing this leper showing himself to the priest for his and make the offering for his cleansing, one sense encourage something in the human spirit that has this either-or quality to it. And I think that's debilitating in this sense. Again, take it or leave it. It's a false dichotomy and promotes the tyranny of the ideal. And it seems to me the tension, it's more of a tension between the ideal and where we're really living day to day, moment to moment. So that's kind of the theme. That's kind of where I want to go with this deal. So the gospel, I think, operates at least several levels, today's gospel. And it points us directly to next Sunday's gospel, where Jesus is in the wilderness, tempted by Satan, and with the wild animals. That's what Mark says. There's not the three temptations like in Matthew and Luke. Mark is very succinct here. Okay. First level. Sometime in Jesus' ministry, he encountered a leper and healed him and said, go show yourselves to the priest, and by the way, don't say anything. Guy goes and spreads the word, and he can't go into towns. Second level is the thought about, in the first century, how being unclean was transmitted through touch. You touch a leper and you're unclean, and you should go around with rent garments crying out, unclean, unclean. Which I think is a place in our lives of fear and desolation, isolation, and profound sadness. Unclean, unclean. Most of us go around saying, don't look at me, don't look at me, right? There's a third level, and the third level is something I want to address, and it's the usual thing about the language that Mark uses in the Greek. And the key thing that I thought appeared, and this is the first time I've ever noticed it, it's about the wilderness. The guy went out and began to proclaim it freely. So it spread the word so that Jesus no longer could go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. Oops, but first. I didn't write it down. I forget what the New American Bible translation said, but filled with compassion, I think, was the verb there. But that's a wrong translation, because orgizo, the Greek that comes from, has only one translation throughout the Bible, is that Jesus raged. Was incredibly angry. And here's why I believe. Okay. The voice of one crying out, who John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. And this, I think, is a new place to consider praying from. Proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus comes, is baptized. Here's the word of God saying, you're my beloved son. And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and angels waited on him. And he comes out of that, and he cures people. He cures Peter's mother-in-law, and people are brought to him in Capernaum, all kinds of people who were sick, and he cured them. And then, in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out into the wilderness to pray. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said, everyone is searching for you. And then he says, I must go to newer towns. And so they went about in Galilee, proclaiming the good news and curing the sick. Now, the wilderness is the key place. Jesus remained, or Jesus stayed in the wilderness, but that's not the verb. Usually a verb like that, meno, would mean to remain or to stay or to, you know, camp out. But what the verb is the verb for is. Jesus is. It was past aorist tense. So Jesus was in the wilderness, a state of existence. That from the time the baptizer came proclaiming in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, and Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And that's very key, because later in the gospel, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And Simon Peter goes, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus sternly warns him not to tell anyone. And then he says, the Son of Man must go, be rejected by the chief priests and elders, suffer, die, and on the third day be raised. Peter says, oh, God forbid that this should happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Because he was tempting him to forego his mission. So Peter, in that instance, is Satan. And the temptation is, don't be who you really are. And it seems to me that from the very start of Mark's gospel, Jesus is in the wilderness, is always in that place of temptation. So when the people come, and when Simon and the boys come and say, hey, everybody's looking for you, the implication is stay here in Capernaum, set up, put out your shingle, and heal everybody. But having prayed all night in the wilderness, Jesus came to the place of saying, I am living out my vocation as the beloved Son of God. And it's going one way. And from then on, every time he tells someone, and this happens a lot in this gospel, every time he heals someone, he says, don't tell anyone, because they're not going to get it. They're going to want me to hang out my shingle and heal everybody and be untrue to my vocation. And so, Jesus remaining, being, existing in the wilderness is a state of being tempted all the time to hand over, to be untrue to who he is. Let me suggest that next Sunday, when we hear the words how Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted by Satan and was with the wild animals and the angels ministered to him, it suggests the same picture in the gospel, at the end of the gospel, when Jesus is in Gethsemane saying, take this cup away from me. And then the temptation, he resolves it saying, but not my will, yours be done. And how can it be for us who aren't Jesus, Son of God, but who are beloved by God, how can it not be that we live in the wilderness, constantly tempted to be untrue to our vocation and who we are? So what would it be like during Lent, rather than saying, I'm not living up to my ideals, I'm not being the best self I can, and all that hooey, to be with Christ in the wilderness, to struggle with the temptation to be untrue to who we are, beloved sons and daughters of God, and to be in that space, probably praying with Jesus at Gethsemane, take this cup away from me. And perhaps it would be a way of saying, take our humanity away from us. And perhaps at moments we can come to that place of, not my will, but yours be done. So I believe this gospel centers us with the Lord in the wilderness. However it works for you, happy Valentine's Day and a blessed Ash Wednesday. Perhaps some of us will find ourselves in the wilderness with the Lord.